live. Happy Wednesday, November 18th. Today's topic is going to be what's the Shakespeare thing? To be or not to be? To refinance or to sell? That is the question. And we're going to be going over pros and cons of both, because both can be beneficial, obviously, but both also have shortcomings that can affect your decision making. And this is something that Mel and I, we think about it all the time. And Mel's going to be joining me, obviously, in the studio. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing or why she's running late, but she will be joining. But I want to lay some groundwork on the refi and all that. So we have these conversations all the time on every single building, every time we lift. And, should we do this? Should we do that? Sometimes we talk to the accountants to make sure what makes sense for us in that scenario as well. But, there's a lot more than that goes into it than just, hey, I want to sell, or hey, I want to refinance. Thinking how it's going to affect you, mostly tax-wise, right? Mostly tax-wise, because as real estate investors, and I'm sure that's what you are if you're tuning into the Investor Mel and Dave show here, you don't want to pay taxes, right? Legally, you want to pay the least amount of taxes, morally, ethically, and legally, which is why you got into real estate. There's Mel. Mel's in the studio.
I'm fashionably late.
I
was making sure we're all set up on Instagram and Facebook and everything else.
So. Are we live just on YouTube today?
We're live just on YouTube today. Okay, so our Instagrammers and our Facebookers are going to hopefully come and join us on YouTube.
Yes. So we're just kind of laying some groundwork that you and I, every time, like it's such a, and every scenario is different. We're always thinking, do we refinance? Do we sell? Why should we refinance? Why should we sell? And that's what we will be going over today. But we do kind of go back and forth, right?
We have the conversation quite often. Although our strategies, for those who know us, we are typically buy and hold. So that way we get to keep the cash flow and the appreciation throughout the years. However, there are certain times throughout the years that we have decided that we intentionally thought we were going to flip and we didn't.
Yep.
And there are times where we intentionally thought we were going to hold and we
didn't. And we have a very recent example of that. But I think I'll do my radio voice.
Radio voice today.
Yes, I'll do our intro.
All right. It's been a couple of weeks since you've done that.
No one wrote in the comments whether they like it or not. So
isn't that a saying? No comment is...
no news is good news. But then there's also... there's definitely a saying.
Yeah, there's definitely a saying for that.
All right, so radio
voice. Maybe you'll get a couple of thumbs up afterwards.
All right, so welcome to the Investor Mel and Dave podcast, where we talk about real estate, entrepreneurship, and life. Today's topic will be to refinance or to sell.
Yes, which one is best? And welcome.
The radio voice.
So thank you, everyone, on our channel today. If you are new to us, thanks for being here. If you're not new to us, thanks for being here. Make sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the bell to be notified for when we go live, like moments like this. So make sure to subscribe as well, because we have a new video every single week.
Yes.
Awesome. Good. So let's get started.
Okay. So I wanted to start off with the refinance. Okay. So let's slow things down. Let's talk about refinance. And if you're a real estate investor, you're going to be familiar with refinancing, because that is a major aspect of real estate investing, okay? So whether you're using your own money, or if you do like us, use creative financing and using seller financing, vendor takebacks, private lenders, private investors, the refinance is a massive portion of your calculations, your exit strategy, whether you should actually buy the building in the first place. The refinance is huge when deciding, do I pull the trigger or not?
Yeah, and it should be pre-calculated as well.
Yes.
It's a pre-calculated choice.
Well, yeah, 100%. So, okay. So in the refinance, first off, the thing that everyone loves, and some people don't understand, so I'll maybe touch on it, is the tax-free portion, okay? So a refinance is a tax-free event. It does not trigger any taxes.
Yes, and we always get this question of, are you sure? Yes, when you aren't selling, you're refinancing, it's a tax-free transaction, which is really nice, right? You don't have to worry about paying extra or those expenses. So that's certainly part of our calculations.
Yes. That's a big part.
It's a big part, yes. And that's why often people won't sell a lot of, owners who may have a lot of properties to sell, quite often they won't sell many properties in the same year because of the taxes.
Yeah, so, okay, and people don't understand this. They think, so, and if you do understand it, bear with me, but if some people don't understand it, I want to explain it to them. So why is a refinance tax-free? Because we get DMs, and we get messages on Facebook, YouTube as well, and we answer every single comment and question on YouTube ourselves, but they'll say, well, Dave, you're still getting the money. Why aren't you paying tax on it? And here's the difference, okay? So yes, you are receiving funds in a refinance. However, it's debt. And again, I love debt, but it's debt, right? It's a mortgage. You have to pay that back. It's not just money that you get to do. Well, sometimes you can do what you want with the refinance, but it's still attached to a mortgage. You're still attached to debt.
Yep.
So that is why it is a, non-taxable event with the refinance. Now, so that's a pro. That's obviously a very
to refinance.
Yeah.
To keep your properties.
As opposed to selling. And we'll get into selling after, yes. But I want to talk pro. So that's a massive pro of the refinance.
Absolutely.
And the other thing too with the refinance is when you do it, like let's say you purchased an income property and let's say it was 3 years ago, right? The rates were higher because now we all know what's record low rates or historically historically low rates. People are refinancing right now. So that's another good thing about refinancing is that you can restructure your debt, right? Like we're doing that right now.
In different times, right? And this could be a con depending when it's up, right? If you're used to having 2% and all of a sudden the rates are 5%, that refinance won't be quite as pleasant. So it could be a pro or
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
So that's something too. People restructure their debt. Like Mel said, sometimes, if you're wanting to take your money out, yes, the interest rate is a factor. But yeah, so that's it as well. People are doing a lot of refinances right now because the money is, or the interest is very low. So that's something that people need to think about. The loan to value amount. So when you're refinancing, like we typically get 80 on our 4 and under, 75 on our 5 and over. So that's something that you and I talk about all the time. When you refinance, we end up leaving, you leave equity in the deal, right?
Yeah, it's just sitting there, right? And you have no choice. It's you can't put that money to work for you. So you have to be comfortable with that as well.
Yeah, so the loan to value, you're not getting all your money. You have to leave some equity. So that's something that is, I see this as two ways, kind of like Mel said on the last topic, is it can be seen as a positive, it can be seen as a negative. So the positive in that is, A, you have equity in the deal, which will help you with your overall ratios because the banks like seeing that you have equity in your deal.
Yeah, it's money, it's backup as well. Although, yes, you can't pull that out, but at least you kind of know that if worse comes to worse, if I need to sell something, I have some equity. So it's not a bad thing
have. Forced savings, I guess.
Exactly. It's forced, forced backup plan. Yeah,
exactly. So that's kind of like, depending how you look at it, the other part of the leaving the money in there is a negative that you don't have access to that money. So that is still, you have to leave it in the deal. Right?
And that's what you have to look at. So what are your intentions? Are you okay with that? Do you absolutely need that money to buy your next properties? Are you able to find other lenders, other owner financing? Do you have a property? And sometimes this has been part of our plan or what shifted our direction is that we decided perhaps to sell because we wanted to pull that money because we had an amazing opportunity we didn't want to miss out on. We perhaps were the timing of coming up with that cash was very quick. Instead of trying to find a private lender, we thought let's just use that money and put it to work for us.
Yeah, no, great point, Mel. And I thought of something as you were talking and now I forgot about, is strategic planning, and I'll kind of get into that in the sell. So maybe let's go over to selling, and I want to talk about a scenario that we have. It's a current, like I said, it's November 18th today. We sold the property. It firmed up, and it closes November 27th. And let's go over why, you know, sorry, we'll go over why we sold it, but let's go over the pros and cons of selling.
Well, let's rewind a little bit more. And this was absolutely one we thought about keeping at first.
Yeah.
We always talk, oh, maybe we could sell it, but our intentions were, let's rent it out. It's going to be redone. It's going to be turnkey. It was an older place. It was a bank repo, this one, right?
Correct, yeah.
It was a bank repo. So the team had to do a lot of work in it, but it looks great. It's in great shape. So we thought, okay, now it's easy maintenance because everything is redone. Should we just keep it because we put the money into it?
And this will be one, keep an eye down the road. We're actually going to be doing a YouTube video breaking mm-hmm. down this actual deal.
Yes.
But yeah, so selling in general, why do people sell as opposed to refinancing? And let's go over the pros of selling. And Mel kind of mentioned it in the refinance, but the pro of selling is you don't have to leave equity in the deal now. You get all the money from the proceeds of the, and again, I know people are going to say, well, Dave, what about realtors and attorneys and lawyers? Yes, yes. Obviously, after all that's been done. But the pro of selling is that you now get all that money. Nothing is staying left in the deal.
Exactly. And if you want to use that money into the next deal, then you can get that full amount. So if you, let's say $100,000, that loan to value that Dave was referring to earlier, let's say you'd have to leave $20,000 a deal. Now you actually have that in pocket. And of course, typically, Mel, where can I buy a place for $100,000? I know that this is just for easy numbers.
Yeah, exactly. You get to take all that money. Nothing gets left in the deal because the deal is now done. You've sold it.
Yeah, so this one was a duplex. We purchased it.
Correct.
But we changed it into a legal triplex. So, of course, right there, the value of the property increased. It was a gut job. So everything had to be redone, new windows. They painted outside. They put new floors, new kitchen, new bathrooms. Everything had to put in. So we had to put money into the deal. And, of course, we get this question a lot. Do you use your own money? It depends. No, we did not in this case. So we got a lender to help us out with the funding because it was a substantial amount to kind of put in. We thought, let's keep using other people's money because that's what we love doing because we wanted to continue to buy other properties as well during that time.
Yeah. And I want to break down this deal. I'll talk about why we decided to sell. But so kind of a yin and a yang. So earlier we talked about the refinance. It's a mm-hmm. non-taxable event, right? So the total opposite of when you sell is now you're going to be subject to capital gains, right? And people get confused with the capital gains. So let's use that example like Mel. We always like using the $100,000.
Well, it's easy.
It's easy. And it's so let's say you sell the property. And you bought it, let's use very easy numbers here. You increase the property by $100,000. So that's going to be your capital gains, okay? 50% of that, 50% of that $100,000, so I think so that becomes up to $50,000, mm-hmm. Is now subject to capital gains. And people think, oh, so I made 100, but I have to pay 50,000. No. It's only the 50,000 that is subject to the capital gains, which is now subject to your tax bracket. So if you own that asset personally, that $50,000 now gets added to your taxes, your personal taxes, and then is going to get taxed at whatever tax rate you're at or tax bracket you're at. So again, for example purposes, and I just did this morning with an investor. They have a lot of substantial amount of money that they want to invest with, and I was kind of going over a scenario. And let's use 25% tax rate, okay? So $100,000, pay 50% capital gains. So on that $50,000, you're now taxed 25% interest on it. And basically, I think you have to like $12,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So on that $100,000 of capital gains, you would pay $12,000 roughly, you know, yep. give or take, of capital gains. So that's something, again, that you have to look at. Are you okay with that?
And this is why often, again, it kind of plays into the decision making of how many people or how many properties are you going to sell in a year? Because if an investor has a portfolio of 10 properties and they sell all 10 of them, think about the capital gains and taxes that they're going to have to pay, right? So it can become very substantial. So Because we've had that conversation. Okay, are we selling one? Or are we selling two? And again, the reason we'd want to sell quite often is for the bigger picture. Where why are we selling? Do we want to take that money and not leave any money in the deal so we can buy bigger units or different types of units, right? It's kind of the, we've been doing a lot of Monopoly lately. The, you know, replace a house with a big one.
And what is it? Four greenhouses, one red hotel?
One hotel. We don't do hotels, but we have been doing a lot of big blocks, yes. A 50-plex and a
21-plex. Well, with the economy right now, I don't think I'd want a hotel anyway.
No,
so.
Yes.
in that scenario, again, that's the con. And let's touch on something, because I know we're going to get into questions. If you're in the U.S. 1031 tax strategy, yes, you can apply that, which basically means, and I'm going to talk about it very slowly, if you sell a property and you have capital gains, as long as you don't touch that money, as long as you put it in an escrow and use it within certain parameters and certain timelines, you will not pay, and as long as you apply it to another real estate or income property, you won't have to pay capital gains. So yes, I know that. So the 1031 is a beautiful thing.
That Canadians don't have, unfortunately. Don't have.
Yeah. But so that's kind of the pros and cons of selling and refinancing. So let's talk about the deal. And I don't want to give numbers just yet until it actually firms up, but right, to be respectful, yes. Right, until it actually closes, you know, you never, knock on wood, you never jinx anything. But the reason we decided to sell it, like Mel was saying, is there's other projects down the road, right? Where there's other buildings that we potentially see more more cash flow in, that yep. We see more potential for a lift. And this is taking kind of, I always liked hearing that. And this is money that we're going to be, you know, making on this building, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So yeah.
That's the plan, right? You always want to, and that is a result as well, but that's the plan, of course. If you're going to be doing that, you want to make a substantial amount of money to make it worth it.
Well, so exactly what we did was take other people's money and creative financing, purchased it, increased the value. So now we're going to have money that we've created over and above paying everyone else. So it's taking kind of yesterday's dollars for tomorrow's project. So now that we've created that income and that lift, we're going to be able to basically take that money and buy other properties with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I like about this, and something kind of, I won't get into it here, maybe when we do the YouTube video on it, is because we're structured in certain ways with corporations and our different structures, think of this, okay? And I'm not going to dive into it, but just think of this. Let's say corporation number one, because we have a lot of different structured corporations. Let's say corporation number one is the one that sold the asset and now has an influx of cash. Okay? Now, corporation number two wants to buy another property but doesn't have a down payment. And Mel and Dave own these two corporations. Think of something where corporation one lends the down payment to corporation two. So you're kind of using OPM in the second one. Meanwhile, it's still your money and you can charge interest. So now you start to really, like, this is layering up in your real estate purchases, right?
And absolutely. There's so many different ways to do this creative financing. And yes, it's legal and yes, it's ethical. Of course, everything we do is with lawyers and accountants, but you're bang on. There's so many different ways once you understand how to properly work with real estate and creative financing that you become limitless because there's so many opportunities.
Well, so you bought an asset with none of your own money. Mm-hmm. That's basically what we did, other people's money. We were going to be paying everyone back and having an amount of money left over. So we've literally created money. We're taking that money. We're lending it to another corporation. So we're using OPM technically from that other corporation. And then the corporation that's lending out the money is going to make interest on it as well. So think of, you create money, you lend it out, you make money on it. Like it truly becomes an infinite return on investment. And it's super powerful stuff.
It is. And if we think about percentage wise, like, okay, do we refinance? Do we sell? Again, it's going to be, it just depends from one scenario to the next. I'd probably say what? 90% we hold, refinance.
I'd say even higher.
Even higher than that.
Well, think. I guess
we've only sold a few throughout the years out of all the properties we have.
I can only think of three.
Yeah.
So not even, we can't even fill our hand with.
So they're few and in between, but sometimes it just makes sense for the overall portfolio. And I think that's what it kind of comes down to, right? It's the, especially if you do decide that you're buy and hold like we are, so that way you get to pass on perhaps to your children or pass that on, or perhaps down the road you sell it and you donate your, you know, whatever you want to do with your money down the road. But buying and holding creates that long-term wealth But sometimes doing a quick flip or a sell can just help you continue to grow as well.
Yeah, it's not our overall plan, but sometimes here and there it kind of just gives an influx of money and helps the overall portfolio. I like how you said that, Mel.
Yeah.
So before we head over to the Q&A, please subscribe, like the page, comment below. What's the other one, the bell? Click the bell, get notified.
Yeah, so that we get notified when we go live and all that good stuff. So
awesome. So yeah, please do that before we go into Q&A. It helps our algorithm. It helps us continue to make more videos, and we appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, let's get to some Q&As.
Matt Kelly.
Matt,
you're part of the Action Family.
Yes.
We met you when we did a presentation in Mississauga last year. That'll be almost a year now. Over a year. Oh, that's cool. We actually got to meet Matt. Matt and his girlfriend, I think it was.
Yes, yeah. Love meeting people in person in the Action Family. That's awesome. All right. Maybe it's a different Matt, and he's thinking, who are you? We've never met you, but we do have a Matt Kelly that as part of our Action Mentoring Program. What do you think about refinancing to acquire another property versus VTB? Are there situations when refinancing makes the most sense?
Yes, okay, and I want to compound on that, Matt, because I want to think about this, okay? So yes, and in this scenario, that's kind of what we're doing. We're going to be, creating money and then and then selling it and taking that money to fund other deals. But think of this. So initially, in the first asset that we purchased, so let's take this bank repo, for example. And it wasn't a vendor take back, but we had a first mortgage from a financial institution, a mortgage broker. And then we had a second mortgage from a private lender investor. So it wasn't a vendor take back, but same difference. It was a second mortgage. Okay. That being said, 100% finance deal. Now, when we got the lift in the building and now we're selling the building, we've paid back all the original 100% financed. Okay. So we've paid back that VTB, but now we've created that other amount of money. So not only by using other people's money and 100% financing did we make that deal make sense, but now we've created another down payment on another building. So that's why it makes sense in this scenario, which if you think of that on like a bigger scale, and I know I keep saying it, it's just so powerful that you create money and now you're going to use it on another payment. So that's kind of what we're doing with this deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the VTB, of course, that would always be my first choice, right? If there's owner financing, seller financing, I would keep my property 100% unless it's happened to not be a good property. But I would 100% keep my property and go for the VTB because, again, keep that money there. And if ever down the road I need to pull it out for whatever reason, at least it's my backup.
Yeah. And Matt, hopefully you're coming live in the Action Family today because I'm talking about this a little bit more, in more detail. So hopefully you're coming live today if you got a chance.
Rob, hi, my sister is looking to refinance, but she has missed payments from her student loans from last year. She wasn't aware that they were late. How do you recommend getting them removed?
Hey, Rob. Yeah, so I'm not a mortgage broker, or Mel and I are not mortgage brokers, but what I'd say is, let's say that same institution that gave your sister the mortgage, maybe it soured the relationship, maybe they're thinking, your ability to repay debt is not great. And that probably went on their credit, right? But such is life. And looking forward, if I was in that scenario, what I would do is ask that same institution whether they're willing to do refinance. If not, I would find another institution or another mortgage broker. Now think of this. If the credit rating went down due to non-payments, when they're going to refinance, they might get a lower loan to value due to this, or they might have to pay higher interest.
Yep.
So,
and sometimes depending on the financial institution, have a conversation with them. I mean, if there's any kind of proof that you can show, perhaps the bills were going to a wrong address or anything like that. Again, not sure if that's going to make a difference or not, but I know we're very transparent with our financial institutions. Oh, yeah. We always talk to them. So have conversations and the plan moving forward as well. And if obviously she's been able to, hey, I missed some payments, but I put, I tripled my payments. If you can look at the past couple of months, for example, if something like that's happening, that might help as well.
Makes sense.
Awesome. Patricia. When would it be better to do a HELOC instead of refinance? And I believe Patricia Gomez, part of the Action Family as well. Awesome.
And I can go more into detail in the Action Family, Patricia, but this is going to be a personal choice. To be honest with you, some institutions want the HELOC more, as opposed to just giving you the refinance. I don't know why that they want that more. I think it's to do with ratios and that type of thing. That's what I look at more. And Mel and I do mostly refinance, not HELOC. And when we do it, we talk to the institution. We'll say, yeah, let's use the $100,000. If you're going to give me $100,000 of refinance or you're going to give me a $100,000 HELOC line of credit, which one is going to least impact Mel and Dave's ratios and ability to borrow? Because obviously with the refinance, yes, you're getting the money, you're not paying taxes, mm-hmm. but then you're getting higher debt. So you're going to have a higher mortgage, which is going to affect your ratios. But a HELOC is going to be a line of credit, which they're going to calculate it. And I forget how they do it, but they're going to calculate it like you've used all the money. So how is that going to affect your ratio? So that's honestly what I would do. Ask the institution if they're willing to do both. And if they are, which one? Run the scenario. But do a $100,000 increase in my mortgage and then do a $100,000 HELOC. Which one affects us less?
Yes, absolutely. All said. All right. So that wraps up this session.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone on YouTube, for following us. If you're not, again, subscribe to our channel. Hit the bell. I think we're going to do a couple more surprise live sessions once in a while for those who do subscribe to our channel and live. So that way it's not announced anywhere, but you'll get notifications when we happen to go live. So that's upcoming as well. And of course, we have new videos, including a new one coming out tomorrow. You want to make sure to check that one out. Some topics that we don't discuss too often, so you'll see what that is tomorrow. So thank you, everyone. Have an amazing Wednesday. Thanks for those of you at home watching later on, or for those listening to our podcast from your vehicle or wherever you are.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us after the live date today, again, don't feel like you have to be live to write comments, write questions or anything. So if you want to jump on the YouTube page, write some comments or questions in the actual videos that you watched, or DM us on other sources. Hey, that's awesome.
Dave loves it because he gets up in the morning, drinks a whole lot of coffee, and then types away to all the comments. So
absolutely.
He loves starting off his morning that way. So have a great day, guys.